The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello! Welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices that are trying to learn how to be like Jesus, loving like he loved and serving like he served. It is so good to have you as we start our eighth week. That's right. We have been together for 7 weeks, and today we are starting the eighth week. And as you know, as we are in this journey of Jesus' apprentices, we have a motto that we try to live for. And the motto for Jesus' apprentices of the Rescue Worker community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the goal for Jesus' apprentices. And I pray that you love God with all your heart, that you love your neighbor, and you love yourself. Since we are starting a new week, that means that we have a new Bible verse to memorize. And the Bible verse for us to memorize comes from Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Oh, I didn't put here, so let me take back. Oh, didn't come up. So let me read for you Luke 4, 40 here. And says, as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. So that is the memory verse that we need to pay attention throughout this week, is how Jesus, the Messiah, came to heal everyone, to provide freedom, to provide what he said on the sermon in Nazareth, to proclaim that captives will be released, the oppressed will be set free. He's taking that in practice. He's making that a reality in two people's life. So let's keep that in mind. Today we'll be studying verses 38 and 39, those two verses of Luke chapter 4. And I think we have a powerful reflection and lesson for us here. And in order for us to grasp in a better way, I want to tell you that we need to position ourselves in a way that we can pay attention to God and only God. We need to position ourselves in a situation where God, through the Holy Spirit, can touch our heart and transform our hearts. And at this moment, I want to challenge you to do that. I want to give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself. And we do that with the assurance that the promise of Hebrews 4:16 is a reality. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. We have the assurance that God is available and He has mercy and grace waiting for us. So let's prepare ourselves to receive this grace, this mercy that is reserved for us. Let's prepare ourselves to be in God's presence. So take this 1 minute to be in God's presence and ask Him to speak and bless you on this day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you. As we heard through your word, Jesus healed everyone that came to him. And at this moment, Lord, I ask for healing. I ask for physical healing, emotional healing, social healing. I ask for economic healing. I ask, Lord, for spiritual healing, family healing, so we may experience the manifestation of the Messiah, the manifestation of God's kingdom. Help us today, Lord. Bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's try to understand where we are right now before we come to verse 38 and 39 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus was baptized. He went to the desert to be in communion with God. In the desert, he's tempted, but he was faithful to God and he overcame Satan. From the desert, he went to Galilee, where he started his public ministry. He focused on the synagogues according to the Gospel of Luke. Now, then we saw Jesus going to the synagogue in Nazareth, the town that he grew up. There he preached this powerful sermon. And the core message of his sermon was the Messiah, God's King and his kingdom. And that is important for us to pay attention here. And have this beautiful picture here. First, let's read this Bible verse that I'm referring to. Even though it's not our memory verse anymore, I think we need to keep that in mind. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." So Jesus described his message and his mission in this way. As I mentioned before, that is extracted from Isaiah 61, okay, and is related to the work of the Messiah. And the Messiah, the context of the Messiah is God's kingdom. God rules. God is the sovereign one. God is the king of the universe. And now Jesus comes to proclaim the good news about God's kingdom. And if you do a survey in the Bible about Jesus' teaching and healing and his ministry, it's close related to the concept of God's kingdom. So God rules, and I accept his rulership when I submit and surrender to God. And that is what Jesus does. He's an example for us, for you and for me, how we should be citizens of God's kingdom, being submissive, surrendering to God. Jesus did that. That's the reason he overcame. He submitted to the king. And he does the kingdom work. And what's the kingdom work? Well, is releasing people, is setting people free, is proclaiming the good news for the poor. And the poor is those unfavorable ones, right? Jesus comes to present, declare, and implement God's kingdom and invite people to experience this God's kingdom. And this kingdom has the power and authority. And the first power and authority of Jesus, of the kingdom manifestation, was Jesus in a synagogue on the Sabbath day in Capernaum. Well, he was not accepted in Nazareth, so he goes to Capernaum, this town at the shore of Galilee Sea. And there, in a synagogue, on a Sabbath day, he was able to release a poor man that was in was oppressed by the devil, was possessed, and now is a declaration that God's kingdom has authority over the demons and the devil. Nothing can go against God's kingdom. So Jesus is presenting and declaring, it's not the kingdom of Rome, it's not a kingdom of the Jews, it's the kingdom of God. And let's focus on that. So now we go to verses 38 and 39. And that is the first time in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is not ministry or serving or is related to the work in the synagogue. But before I do that, I want to show some footage and some images of Capernaum, so you can have a better understanding of the flow of our message here. If you are, let's say, just listening a podcast, maybe you may consider later to check our YouTube channel or your Facebook channel where we have the archives, and you can see by yourself these images and footage of Capernaum. And so here is Capernaum. This is the archaeological site of Capernaum. And you see the Galilee Sea, right? And as you approach there, you see this white building, a major building that was the synagogue. You see the ruins of the houses, right? It's a small town. Other areas have not been excavated yet. So that is the idea of the Capernaum. And I want to call your attention to a few things. So this building, this white building here in the back of the archaeological site, is the synagogue. The synagogue where Jesus was teaching. Okay, this white synagogue probably is not the synagogue that Jesus was. This was built later, this new synagogue was built on the ruins of the previous synagogue. And you can see there some of these remains of the first synagogue. You have the houses right here, and you have here places that are not being excavated yet, okay? But you have the houses here in the back. And you have a very interesting building here, and I want to show what is this building all about. Well, here's an image of the synagogue. And as you see and explained in previous episodes, people will sit around the synagogue, so they're seating places here. Right? So if the synagogue was full, the kids will sit in the floor, right? On the side, there is the place for women to sit, okay? And as you leave the synagogue, that's the vision of the door or of the exit of the synagogue. What you see here, you see some houses, you see small houses, okay, of the Capernaum village, or town, right? And you see this new construction, this new building. This building was built upon a house. A house that we believe that later, on the 3rd century, was a home church. And this home church was here because they believe that this home church was the place where Peter, Simon, lived. And here, what we see here is what's take place in the account of verse 38 and 39 on this house, the house of Simon. So let's start here on Luke 4, verse 38. After leaving the synagogue that day, so it was a Sabbath day, he just delivered a possessed man, and he's going out, the service is done. Jesus went to Simon's home. And as you see, Simon's home is 20, 30 meters from the synagogue. It's not far. Why is Jesus there? Well, maybe Simon invite him for a meal. Jesus just preached it. And now, okay, let's go our home. Let's have a meal. Or maybe Simon mentioned, hey, my mother-in-law is not doing well. Jesus, can you come to my home? Interesting that there is no presentation of who this Simon is. Up to this point, Luke has not presented Jesus' disciples. We know that is Simon Peter, right? We'll learn more about that on the Gospel of Luke. But somehow that means that the first readers of this letter knew who was Simon, who was Peter. They were somehow familiar. Remember, Luke is going around with Paul and preaching the good news of God and planting new churches. And Peter, Simon, was one of the main leaders. Some of the places that Paul went, Simon, Peter went as well, right? We know in Galatians that Paul, the Simon, was in Antioch, right? So people were aware of Simon, of Peter. So probably what we see here, Luke making a connection. But don't worry, if you're not aware who Simon is, on the next chapter, we'll see. We'll be studying that this week, right? So after leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home. And I want to call your attention here to a movement from the synagogue to home. That is the first time in the Gospel of Luke that we see Jesus not ministry, not serving in the synagogue. He's moving to home. And that's so powerful, this movement. And we need to pay attention because I think that is the reality of the kingdom. The kingdom of God doesn't happen inside four walls, the four walls of a church building. It's not about waiting for people to come to a church building to be served. The kingdom of God goes beyond four walls and go where people are. And is that the reason Jesus are in the synagogues? And we have studied already, the synagogues were not a religious building. It was a community hall, and because is a community hall for activities of the community, school, forums, parties, celebrations. On Sabbath days, they are used for the community study of the Torah, the study of the Bible, right? So the kingdom is already happening outside of the temple of Jerusalem. It's happening where people are. And now it's moving even to the homes, right? Is the kingdom movement going to the homes where people are? And somehow, as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom, we need to follow this movement from a building to homes. And here we have a very important information. Jesus goes to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick, with a high fever. Well, Jesus goes after those that are in need. Remember that the concept of poor in the Bible is not just related to those that are a situation of socioeconomic situation, right? Poor is unfavorable, right? So people that didn't have means, they were considered poor because they were unfavorable. Different genders, right? Men were the best on their idea on that time. And now women and kids were in the second level. So they're unfavorable, right? You see, that is the way of the world. But God comes to present the ways of God's kingdom, where there is no Jews or Gentiles, male or female, free or slaves, all are one, all are citizens, all are loved by God. But based on their understanding, yes, a woman and a kid will be considered a second class. They're unfavorable because they were not men. They're unfavorable because maybe they have a disease. A disease was related to a punishment from God or even an evil spirit bringing this punishment. Again, God doesn't love you. He's allowing the spirit. God's punishing you. So you're unfavorable. So being sick is unfavorable. Not being the right family is unfavorable. So there's all these concepts. And the Jewish leaders and religious people at the time, they would not hang out with the unfavorable ones. They would stay with the favorable. Those that were considered blessed by God. But where the kingdom goes, where is the Messiah goes, he goes to unfavorable. The unfavorable that is a woman that even we don't know the name. The unfavorable that is sick. And here Luke is a physician. He goes and declares that she is very sick with high fever. And there's different levels of fever in the biblical time on the Greek Mediterranean culture there. And interesting that the language or the words used here for high fever describes something for death and describes something that is not just one day, it's going on for a few days or even for a long period of time. So this woman that we don't know the name, she's unfavorable because she's a woman. She's unfavorable because she's sick. Has she done something wrong against God and God's punishing her? What's going on? Yeah, she's not favorable, right? And she's going to die, right? And it's very interesting because for the people at the time, if you're unfavorable, better for you to die than to be alive, right? That's the mindset. And there's even a few things here. First, if she's living with Simon, with Peter, that means probably she's a widow, then unfavorable again, okay? If she's living with her daughter, that means she didn't have a male child, she didn't have a son, or she lost her son. Well, that means what? Unfavorable, right? Female was considered unfavorable, so having a female child was terrible. You need to have a boy. So if she's living with her daughter, that means she doesn't have a boy because usually a widow will live with his oldest son. And she's not there. She's in Peter's home. She's living with his son-in-law. So, or she doesn't have a boy. Or she didn't have a boy, or she lost a boy. So all the cases, what we see here, it's an unfavorable person in all the levels that in the mind of the Jewish people at the time is better for this person to die. But the kingdom sees things different. The Messiah is different. Pay attention. Please heal her. Everyone begged. People loved her. Even though the religious people didn't consider her among the favorable ones. Standing at her bedside. I want to pay attention here. Jesus went to her bedside. Where Jesus was? At her bedside. He was not at the temple of Jerusalem. He was not in the synagogue. He was on her bedside. Where the disciples of Jesus, where the apprentices of Jesus supposed to be, on the bedside of people, going where the unfavorable ones are. And be there. He rebuked the fever. Jesus, the Messiah, has authority over the demons, but he has authority over the diseases. That means the kingdom of God has authority and control and sovereignty over the demons and over any disease. That is the kingdom of God that you need to submit yourself. The kingdom of God that has the power. And Jesus rebuked the fever. Interesting that Jesus didn't speak to her. It's like Jesus is speaking to the disease itself, right? And some scholars suggest, the reason that she has this fever or this disease is related to having a demon or a spirit, a bad spirit with her. Because the word rebuke is related even to when Jesus rebuked the demon on the possessed human on that day, right? And so I see their point, but I don't believe that's the case. What I'm seeing here is God over control anything, any disease. It's the Messiah having authority and say, disease, I have the power in the name of God's kingdom and its Messiah. Leave. And interesting that the Bible says on verse 39, standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. It is not that she was start getting better, and after a few days, she was fully recovered. She was completely delivered. And that is so powerful and so important to understand this authority of Jesus Messiah over diseases, what the kingdom of God represents. Because that gives us the direction, what kind of power we have accessible to us and what is the movement that we should follow going to the needs, not staying inside of a building. That is the movement of the kingdom, bringing the kingdom to the place where people are, to the streets, to the houses, and meeting them, delivering, bringing release, freedom, sight to the blind. And what happened after that miracle? And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. She was healed, completely healed at that moment. She felt the love of God, the love of Jesus, the Messiah. She felt the love of God's kingdom. She felt how God's kingdom, the Messiah, served her, releasing her from the disease. And now she wanna love back. She wanna serve. That is so beautiful. As we experience the love and the meanness, the serve of God, of Jesus and his kingdom. We are not supposed to stay inside of a four building, a building with four walls. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a place for church, the body of Christ coming together. But the ministry cannot be only there or stop there or even happen there. The ministry needs to happen everywhere. The love of God and the service must be live out where people are. And as people are part, as people experience the love and the service of God, the natural response is to love and serve. Love and serve. And my question is, are you loving? Are you serving? Are you going where the most unfavorable people are? Being on their bad side? Are you being kingdom? Jesus, his apprentices, to the people in need? That is what means to be Christians, is to be like Jesus, is to be apprentice of Jesus, learn from him so we can be like him and do what he did. loving and serving like the master. Are you loving? Are you serving? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for the kingdom of God and the opportunity that we have to submit and surrender to the King. Help us, Lord, to accept Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to be apprentices of this kingdom, citizens of this kingdom, obeying to God, obeying and surrender to Him, and being Christ for people, whatever there is a need. Forgive our sins and be with us, Jesus. It is in name, your holy name, that we pray. Amen. Well, are you ready for the questions, reflection questions for today? And here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? I pray that God will be with you. I pray that you can reflect upon these two verses and maybe take into consideration some of the information that I shared with you. And I pray to see you tomorrow as we continue this learning experience with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. And here, our goal is not only to share information, but our main goal is to see transformation taking place. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is working in you every single day and bringing transformation. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.